You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
I'm excited. I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Somebody's leaving with a touch, leaving with an impartation of the Holy Ghost. I want you to real quickly look at a verse of scripture with me. As we were singing that, this verse just jumped, leaning into my spirit. It's found in the book of Psalms, and it's the 84th Psalm. Yeah. And it's the 11th verse. Jimmy, if you could give me just a little bit of that behind me. It's an awesome verse, and we always love to look at the end of it because the end is exciting. It said this. The end of it says, "No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly." That's the kind of blessing God has for you. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. But just as exciting to me is the first part of the verse, where the Bible said, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and he bestows favor and honor." It's exciting to just hear the fact that the Lord is a sun. You know what's powerful? Jesus is the light of the world. The sun, the actual sun, can't even hold any kind of a comparison to the light of the world. And the Bible says our God is a sun and a shield. The powerful thing about this thought is this: when the devil works, he works in the darkness. And so when you understand that the Lord our God is a sun, that means, I mean, think about it this way. If you could take the actual sun and remove the heat from it and just dip a portion, a tiny portion of the sun into this room tonight, I don't care what, how the room has been set up with chairs and, you know, podium, sound booth. If you were to dip the sun in here, there wouldn't be one shadow in the room. Why? Because the light is not only too bright, it's too big. Oh, man. Let me explain something to you. The reason we have shadow is because we have a light source that's greater here than it is over here. If I were to shine a light source here real hard, this podium shadow would go away. Even though there's light there, if I got light coming from here, it's going to eliminate this shadow. If you watch any professional sports, you know, you watch the field and you'll see they got bright lights coming from every direction. So if you watch a player standing on the field, you may see four shadows coming off of him because you got lights coming from different directions. But if you were to drop the sun into this room, there is no shadow that could remain, because from every direction, all you have is overwhelming light. Which means shadows have to go when the light comes in. See, the only reason, think about this, because it's a thought I don't think a lot of people have really thought through fully. The only reason we have shadows is because we have imperfect light sources. Because when you've got an imperfect light source, it's got limitations. That light, that light, that light, they all have limitations. They can only go to a certain brightness and then they explode. You can't push them beyond what they're rated for. But you understand the sun is so intense, you can't even look on it. That's why, remember when we were in school and we'd have a solar eclipse and you had to make some kind of real weird looking glasses. They'd give you paper plates and poke a hole in it and say, "Now look through that." Why? Because even when the shadow has fallen over the sun, it's still, the brightness is still there. And if you were to look on it, you'd burn your retinas out. That's why they tell you it's dangerous to look at it during an eclipse, because although it seems like the light's not shining, it's still shining. And if you were to look directly into it, you could blind yourself. Why? Because the light is too bright for human eyes to look upon. That's why God said, I'm going to come through. I'm going to pass by you. Hide your face in the cleft of the rock. You can't look upon my front, but I'll let you look upon my back, because no man can see God and live, because he's too holy. He's too much light for an imperfect body. He said, so I can't let you, Moses, look upon my face, but I'm going to let you look upon my back. And let me just tell you something powerful. God came walking through, and when he had passed by, Moses was able to look up and take in the back of God. But watch this, just the back part of God. What he left trailing behind him was so bright that when Moses came down off the mountain, he had to put a veil over his face. They couldn't look on him because just the residue of the light that he had just looked at had gotten on him. Oh, I'm preaching tonight, because I'm telling you, the light has gotten on you. The light has gotten on you. The light has gotten on you. And when Moses came down from the mountain, the light of God's glory had got on him so much, people couldn't even look at him. And what I'm telling you is, the Bible said our God is a sun. When I was growing up, Jimmy, you remember this song we used to sing? Walk in the light, walk in the light, walk where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around me by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Anybody ever heard that song? Walk in the light. We used to say that. Walk in the light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around me by day and by night. It's Jesus, the light of the world. Y'all remember? Say that with me. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around me by day and by night. It's Jesus, the light of the world. Break it down. And why they say walk in the light? Because when you walk in the light, everything that operates in the shadows has to fall away. Woo! I said everything that walks in the shadows has to fall away. Sickness is in the shadows. Disease in the shadows. Depression in the shadows. Suicidal thoughts in the shadows. Are you hearing me? Poverty and lack in the shadows. Abuse in the mind, it's in the shadows. Families falling apart, it's in the shadows. Because the devil doesn't have the right to operate in the light of God. So I'm telling you tonight, walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around me by day and by night. It's Jesus, the light of the world. Come on, one more time. Say, walk in the light. Walk in the light, y'all. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around me by day and by night. It's Jesus, the light of the world. The Lord our God is a sun. I said he's a sun and he's a shield. And the thing that's powerful about it is that Jesus is the light of the world. And here's what's exciting to me is that although he might not have been emanating light in the natural realm, he was emanating light in the spiritual realm, which means wherever Jesus walked, darkness had to run. Or darkness had to bow, and darkness had to submit to the power of Jesus Christ. See, there's a difference when you've got a light that's on the inside you called the Holy Ghost. Woo! See, here's what I found out. John the Baptist said this in Luke 3:16. He said, there's somebody coming who's mightier than I. And I'm not even worthy to buckle the latches on his sandals. He said, but when he comes, see, I'm just baptizing you with water. But when he comes, I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. and the fire gets on the inside of you, and the devil can't handle the fire. See, there's a big difference between people who carry the fire and people who don't have the fire. The Bible said in Acts chapter 19 that there was a demon-possessed man, and seven sons of a priest named Sceva came walking down the road. They thought they were exorcists, and they came up on the man who was full of the devil, and they said to him, "In the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches." You saw that, how he did it? Leaning on Paul's anointing. You better have some anointing for yourself. You better have some fire for yourself. He said, "In the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, come out of the man." And you know you're in a troublesome situation when a demon looks you up and down. You got an issue when the demon doesn't say yes, sir, and come out. If the demon looks you up and down and sizes you up, there's a problem. And the Bible said, even though there were seven of them and one demon-possessed man, they tried to lean on Paul's anointing. And I love the response of the demon inside the man. He said, "Hold up, just one second. Now, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" Which shows you that the devil doesn't know everybody. But there's some people he has to mark their name down. There's some people he got to put your picture on the drawing board of hell, because you've become a danger to the kingdom of darkness. There's some people he knows who they are. I'm convinced that we blame the devil sometimes, stuff he never did. Y'all just pray for me. Devil's been after me all week. Hallelujah. He's been coming after my family. I want y'all to just pray for me and testimonies. You know, and the devil's in front of God with his iPad, like I'm scrolling through names. I don't even know who they are, Lord. I've never seen them in my life. And really, it's not the devil. It's our own failure many times to obey the word. And we blame the devil for stuff he never did. Because remember, he ain't got no power. Jesus took all power from him and gave unto you all power. And it's an interesting thought, because now these seven men are standing in front of a demon-possessed man who's looking at them and saying, "Now I know Jesus. Jesus carries power. When he speaks, we listen. He has a name that's above every other name. We know who he is." Now Paul, we also know. Here's a man that carries the same type of power that Jesus carried when he was on the earth. But I've got a question, because you're standing in front of me, giving me orders, but I don't feel any urgency to obey. And the reason the demon didn't feel any urgency to obey is because they had no power behind their orders. They got no power behind their orders. It's one thing when somebody commands authority and gives you an instruction. But you better understand, I'm going to react much differently if I've got a police officer or a state trooper on the road telling me, "Slow the car down, stop right there, we got construction zone." And if he's got me stopped, you realize this, don't you? That there's no police officer in the world that can put their hand on the hood of my car and stop the car. There ain't no police officer that has the strength to push my car backwards when I'm going forward on the acceleration pedal. But what does he have? Although he doesn't have the strength to stop me, he's got the authority to stop me. See, here's what I like. When you understand that all of the kingdom of God is delegated authority, just like the military or any other governing body like that, you realize that when a police officer stands on the road and says, "Stop," the reason that we stop or should stop is because he has been deputized by the government of that region to carry authority. You know why he has to do that? Because the mayor don't have time to come down to the cross section and stand there in his suit and stop traffic. He's doing other things. The governor can't come from the governor's mansion and stand at the cross section and stop traffic. He's got other things to do. So what does he do? Transfers his authority of the state government to an officer of the law. So that when the officer who now has delegated authority tells you to stop, you know that if you don't, there's consequences beyond one officer. There are courts and there are systems that can penalize you. And so you start to realize, although he doesn't have the strength to stop you, he's got the authority to stop you. And I want you to see this, because every person here has been deputized by the power of the Holy Ghost. God don't have to get off of his throne and tell the devil to move. Jesus doesn't have to come down off the throne and tell the devil to move. But you've been given power by the Holy Ghost to say, devil, I don't know who you think you are, but take your hands off of my body, off of my children, off of my money, and go. In Jesus' name. Woo. Somebody shout, authority is in my heart. It's in my mouth. It's in my spirit. It's in my hands. You know why? Because they will lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he said, I don't know who you think you're talking to. I don't feel any urgency to obey. And instead of obeying their command, the Bible said that the demon-possessed man jumped on them and beat them, all seven, stripped their clothes off, and sent them back down the road bruised. You got a problem if a demon-possessed man can slap you around. Amen. But watch the difference between those seven men who didn't have no fire and a man named Jesus who has fire and he has power. He's got fire power. And the Bible said Jesus, Mark chapter 5, jumped into a ship and he's coming across the sea and he lands on the shores of the region of the Gadarenes. Bible said threw his foot out of the boat, and the moment his Jerusalem ones hit the sand, I threw that in there for the sneakerheads here. Once his Jerusalem ones hit the sand, what you don't see in the word, but what definitely happened, is a shockwave of anointing went out. Because the Bible said that very close by in a graveyard was a demon-possessed man. And when he felt, see, he didn't have to wait to see. When he felt Jesus step onto the land, you know what he felt? A power that was greater than his power. And the Bible says he was so violent and strong that they tried to bind him with chains, but he'd snap them and just keep being violent. So they ejected him from the city and made him live in a graveyard. And he wasn't filled with one demon, but many demons. In fact, the Bible says when he felt Jesus, he ran down to where Jesus was, not to smack him around, not to strip his clothes off, not to send Jesus back across the water. But the Bible said, and when he got to Jesus, he bowed down low before him and began to worship him. But even greater than that, began to beg him, please do not harass us before our time. And Jesus said to him, what is your name? I'm going to stir you up on this one. And see, he answered Jesus and said, Legion, for we are many, 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 many. And I started studying that a little bit. And in the time, of course, you know, the Romans had invaded Jerusalem or were running the show. And when the demon said, my name is Legion, that was in reference to a Roman legion of soldiers, which history tells us was a battalion of anywhere between 4,000 and 6,000 men. What the demon was telling Jesus was, there's somewhere between 4,000 and 6,000 of us in this man's spirit. First of all, think of how vast one human spirit is. Think about how big one human spirit is. Can I encourage you with a thought? When you look at the mirror, don't judge how powerful you are based on what you see in the flesh in that mirror. Understand that you've got something in you much bigger than you that's contained inside of a fleshly temple. Paul said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? There's something way bigger on the inside of you than you realize. He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. I love this because I started to think later, because you do realize, don't you, that an army of demons, that's an army of demons, thousands of demons, an army ran to where Jesus was. And although it was thousands against one, they still had to bow down low and begin to beg him, please don't mess with us before our time. Notice it didn't matter how many demons got together. Notice it doesn't matter what stands against you. No matter, it doesn't matter what the diagnosis is. Doesn't matter how many people have tried to curse you. You can't curse what God has blessed. And thousands of demons had to bow down low before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I always thought about this. I said, what in the world? Because Jesus don't care what his name is. I mean, go through the Bible. How many other people did Jesus ask the demon, what is your name? Jesus wasn't trying to go around and collecting identification from demons. You know why? Number one, it doesn't matter what their name is, because every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess. Notice he didn't have to do anything different with this demon-possessed man than he did with any other demon-possessed man. He still cast the demons out. So Jesus didn't alter his method based on the identity of the demon. And so I was like, Lord, what in the world? Why did Jesus take the time to ask these demons what their identity was? And this jumped in my heart. This is not, I mean, you're not going to find that on the page, but see if it bears witness with your spirit. Because this is the only time Jesus ever did it. And see, one of the things you probably start to realize is that this demon-possessed man and the demons in the man probably felt their superiority. No one can stop us. We break every chain. There's nobody that can handle us. We're too powerful even for this region. And Jesus comes in and exercises dominion over a whole army of demons. And I almost feel like, see how you feel in your spirit, I almost feel like Jesus was asking the demons their name rhetorically. I'm not asking you because I need to know. What I'm trying to show you by proving to you, when I say, what is your name? Notice what you will not say back to me. Your name can be anything you want it to be, but I'll tell you what it ain't. Jesus. Because you're looking at a name that's above every other name, so that every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess. He said, what is your name? Because my name is Jesus, and my name is above your name. I'm about to run around this church. My name is above your name. Hey, and I want to encourage you, because see now, hey, You know, you saw the rest of the story, right? The demons. Oh, Lord, don't cast us into the deep. At least let us go into these pigs. You remember that story? At least let us go into the pigs. I got a few thoughts here. Because, like, first of all, Bible said there was people tending the pigs. Shepherds. Which meant the pigs weren't wild. It was somebody's livestock. You ever thought about that? It was actually somebody's livelihood. And Jesus said, go head into the herd of pigs. Well, first thing you know is Jewish people can't eat pork. So Jesus wouldn't ruin his lunch. You think he didn't know the pigs were going to go off the cliff into the sea? He knew what demons do. Demons are destructive. My dad preached that one time. He said, and Jesus cast the demons into the pigs. It was the first case in history of deviled ham. Jesus knew. I wish Peter was here to hear me preach this tonight. Somebody get Peter on the phone. Because I want to say, in this generation, we're saving whales and spotted owls and killer whales and saving all these different kind of animals while they're signing bills to kill babies in every state and cheering about it like they just won some kind of victory. While in the meantime, God cares more about one human life than he does an entire herd of animals on the side of a mountain. You don't want to hear me preach tonight, but I came to tell you that it's time to turn a generation around to realize that people are more important than anything. People matter. People matter. It's not politically correct anymore, but we used to sing it in Sunday school. Red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We used to sing that. Now you can't call people red, yellow, black, or white. Apparently I'm not white. I went and found out. Somebody told me I'm Caucasian. I don't even know what that is. They said, you're Caucasian. I said, I'm pink. I don't know what that is. You're Anglo-American. I said, what is that? You can't say anything anymore. We live in an outrage culture. Everybody's offended about something. Offended. I'm offended. You give people a compliment today, they get offended from the compliment. What are you, man, you look really nice today. Were you trying to say every other day I don't look good? Outrage culture. People are offended about everything. You can't say nothing. If you're, I've had people, there's no lie, I'm telling you the truth. I've had people get mad at me because I'm full of joy. And I walk down the street just singing a song that, what you so happy about? Got to be singing up in the bank. I was like, what? Take it easy. Having a good day. Sorry to ruin your depression with my joy. Always singing, coming in here singing a song. My God. Same people have spent $32 million on box sets of music. They got every Lionel Richie album there ever was singing a song in here. Keep it down. Outrage culture. See, because the devil knows this. If he can get you offended, he can pull you out of your victory. If he can just steal your joy. That's why I'm convinced many of the issues we face would be solved if we catch an impartation of joy. Yeah, people are battling things in their body and in their mind that if they could just jump into Holy Ghost joy. The Bible said, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That the reason, now I can tell you something. I was in high school, maybe what has it been now? It's been almost 20 years ago. And I knew a lot of people. I didn't know one person who was taking an antidepressant. Not one in high school. Now you go, and it's about one out of every four students in high school taking an antidepressant. In America, it's one out of every three people taking an antidepressant just to live. What I'm telling you is, in just one generation, the devil has worked hard to destroy the minds and hearts and spirits of people. Why? Because even the devil can sense and feel that we're coming to the end of time. Even the devil can sense and feel Jesus is about to come back again. So what is he doing? If you think the devil is trying to steal your joy because he's trying to take your giggles away, you don't understand what his purpose is. He's coming to try to steal your joy because he wants to fight against a church that's got no strength. He wants a weak church to fight against. And if he can steal your joy, then he can steal your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. But I heard the Bible say that God's going to give us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And when we praise God in his presence is fullness of joy. Woo! Somebody shout fullness of joy. And so I get back to telling you that he's a sun and shield, which means when the light of his presence comes in, it washes every other thing away. Did you realize that just by entertaining his presence, you can get in on the blessings you've been looking for? There's people that are looking for the effect when they should be seeking the cause. Some people are trying to get their, they're always going after prosperity. I'm looking for the provider. See, because if you're attached to the provider, you'll never have to think about prosperity. If I'm attached to the provider, see, I preached on it last night. People got blessed and forgot who blessed them. They went to another level and forgot who brought them there. But if you'll seek out the provider, you'll never have to worry about the provision. Everybody's always going after a healing. Just link yourself up with the healer. And if you get with the healer, you won't have to be running to every conference looking for a healing. Healing will be in your house. Woo! Somebody shout, healing's in my house. Shout, blessings in my house. Joy's in my house. Woo! Because the blesser's in my house. The healer's in my house. The peace bringer's in my house. Yeah. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm convinced that the answer to many of these issues is to jump into the joy of the Lord. Did you know they're even telling us now? Think about this. Doctors are telling us, and even psychologists have written papers on this fact, is that many diseases and sicknesses people have now, they have a term for it. It's called stress-related illnesses. You heard of that? Well, you got a stress-related. You know what they try to tell you to do? Well, why don't you find something you enjoy doing? You need a hobby. You got too much stress on your plate from work and family. You need to just find something you enjoy doing that lifts the stress. What they're really trying to do is take you out of a place where heaviness, stress is racking your life and stealing your joy. But you know, that's something they've within the last 30 years started finding out about. I read thousands of years ago where the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bone. Think about this. I started reading about that because I started thinking, man, those two things don't even sound like they go together. A merry heart is like a medicine. A broken spirit makes dry bones. That doesn't make sense. And then I started to understand. I said, Lord, what does this mean? He was showing me that when you're in the joy of the Lord, it's like medicine to your physical body. It heals your physical body. But then he said, I want you to see what I meant by the other part of the proverb. That's Proverbs 17:22, by the way, if you're taking notes. And he said, the broken spirit dries up the bone. I said, what's the significance of that? He said, if you go back to Leviticus and study, you'll find the verse of scripture that says the life is in the blood. The life, that's why they weren't allowed to eat the blood of animals. He said, the life is in the blood. And he said, when you start to recognize how I made your physical body, how many know where our blood cells are produced from? The marrow of our bones. And when a broken spirit comes upon you, literally what the devil's trying to do is dry up your bones. You know what he's doing? He's trying to choke the life force out of your body by stealing the joy of the Lord. But I came to tell you tonight on a Tuesday that a merry heart is good like a medicine, but a broken spirit is leaving your house tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And from this night, the joy of the Lord is coming upon your family. Woo! Somebody shout, joy like a river. Joy like a river. Shout it again. Joy like a river. We used to sing that. I got joy like a river. I got joy like a river. I got joy like a river in my soul. I got joy like a river. Joy like a river. I got joy like a river in my soul. Y'all remember? I got joy like a river. I got joy like a river, joy like a river in my soul. Well, I got joy like a river, joy like a river. I got joy like a river. Woo! Well, I got love like an ocean. I got love like an ocean. I got love like an ocean in my soul. Oh, I got love like an ocean. Love like an ocean. like a fountain, peace like a fountain. I got peace like a fountain in my soul. Yes, I do. I got peace like a fountain, peace like a fountain. I got peace like a fountain. Come on, I got joy like a river, joy like a river. I got joy like a river in my soul. Oh, joy like a river, joy like a river, y'all. Joy like a river in my soul. Break it down. I'm telling y'all, I feel like dancing tonight. I feel like shouting tonight. I came here with the victory of my spirit. And I tell you, every one of us are leaving with victory in the Lord tonight. Not leaving depressed, not leaving anxious, not leaving sad. But I came to tell you, God's going to loose the joy of the Lord on this whole place tonight. Whatever you came in carrying is getting ready to be lifted off of your shoulders, and you're leaving in the victory of the Holy Ghost. Yay! I got joy like a river, joy like a river. I got joy like a river in my soul. Yes, I do. Got joy. Hey! I got joy like a river. Clap those hands, joy like a river, y'all. Joy. I got joy in my soul. I got joy. I got joy. I got joy like. I got love like an ocean. Come on. Love like an ocean. In my soul, I got love. I got love like an ocean, y'all. Love. Y'all ready? I got peace like a fountain. Peace like a fountain. Peace like a fountain. I got peace. Oh, oh. I got peace. Keep the beat. The Bible said how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. How many believe that? But then I heard you clapping. I'm going to help you with your clap. There was division in the camp. Y'all ready? Listen for that snare. I said, There you are. Oh, yeah. Now you sound right. Sound like camp meeting in here. Yeah. One more time. I got joy like a river. Joy like a river. Joy like a river. In my soul. Joy like a river. I got joy. They ready for this tonight? I'm telling you, I came to put it in because, see, sometimes we need preaching and teaching, but sometimes we need just straight impartation. The Bible said when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Psalm 126 verse 1. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. And I love this part. And it was said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. And then he goes on to say, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we're glad. Woo! See, when God fills your mouth with laughter, fills your tongue with singing, let me tell you what your story is going to be. I love this prophecy. He said, and it was said among the heathen. It's one thing to testify on your own behalf. It's another thing for another Christian or brother or sister to testify for you. Let me tell you what God did for them. But when people who don't even serve the Lord stand up, start pointing their fingers, say, let me tell y'all what's going on at Hope United Church. I don't know what happened, but God opened up the windows of heaven over that church, and there's a blessing flowing that I cannot explain. That's what God said's about to happen, is that there are going to be people who do not serve the Lord that are going to start shouting with you and declaring with you, victory has hit your house. You know God's starting to move Let me tell you when you know God's moving is when you got people who aren't even saved giving in the offering. I was at a church preaching like this. I said, I'm telling y'all, the Bible said the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And I said, that means that there's going to be people that don't even serve the Lord that are going to give and bless the kingdom. And people start getting sour face. You wouldn't really accept that kind of money, Brother Ted. I said, I can tell you what. If a drug dealer came in here tonight and handed me a stack of hundreds, I'd blow the cocaine right off the top of it, put it in my pocket, and preach the gospel with it. Because see, when he had it, it was drug money. But when it hit my hand, it's Holy Ghost money. And what I'm telling you is, God's going to start taking the wealth of the wicked and put it in the hand of the just. That was a few weeks ago. I didn't even know. They came to me after the service. They said, dude in the second row was a drug dealer. And he pulled an envelope out and gave in the offering. I was prophesying it because I'm telling you right now that God's got a plan to bless your family. God's got a plan to bless your ministry. God's got a plan to bless this house. And I'm telling you, there ain't nothing the devil can do to stop what God's getting ready to do in your behalf. I'm encouraging you tonight. Get ready for the goodness of God to come on your family. This is your year for a breakthrough like you never seen. My son's already getting it. Dance, boy. I'm raising up praisers. I'm raising up worshipers. I got three kids now. My other two daughters in the kids class. But I'll, even if we're not in revival like this, I'll go into our living room and pop on Apple TV and somebody else is in revival somewhere. I'll put it on, live stream it, throw it on the big screen TV. And when it's time to praise God, either me or my wife, we'll tell the kids, get in here, it's time to dance. We don't just dance in church, we dance in the house. We don't just shout in church, we shout in the house. I got excited. I was shopping for frozen pizzas at Walmart. I got all excited in one of the aisles. I took off shouting. A lady didn't even know what to do. She just took her cart and went to another aisle. I said, that's all right. I'm going to have a praise break in Walmart all by myself. I've praised him in the gym. Planet Fitness. I was in Planet Fitness. I saw a painting on the wall said, no judgment zone. I said, good thing, because I'm about to jump off this treadmill and give God praise. I was embarrassed at first because I felt the Holy Ghost coming on me. I'm looking around like, people know me around here. Lord, don't do this to me in Planet Fitness. Not here, God. And I heard the Lord actually say to me, he said, you're embarrassed to praise me in public. And he said, I have my son die for you in public, beaten for you in public, rose from the dead in public, ascended into heaven in public. He's going to come back publicly. He said, but you're afraid to praise me in public. I heard that conviction hit my heart. I jumped off the treadmill and started giving God a shout and a dance in the middle of Planet Fitness. People took off for the locker room like it was a terrorist attack. They start running. What is he going? What's going on in here? And I'm telling you, I found out I cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And I found out when I'll praise him, then it takes me into his presence. For God inhabits the praises of his people. And when you start praising him and get into his presence, in that presence is fullness of joy. I'll tell you, if you'll just start praising him, then depression will run out. Sickness will run out. Fear will run out. Suicidal thoughts will run out. Pains and aches gotta go. Every attack of the devil has to jump off of you, for the presence of God is greater. Woo! I'm telling you, it's here right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. He's ready to touch us by his presence. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm going to lay my hands on you tonight and pray. And loose an impartation of joy. You see, joy is a spirit. Some people think it's just happy moments. No. That's happiness. but joy is spiritual. I want you to catch this. The Bible said about Jesus in prophetic Old Testament messianic prophecy. He said, because you have hated wickedness and loved righteousness, therefore God, your God, will anoint you with the oil of joy above your brethren, which means Jesus walked this earth with an anointing of joy. I said he walked this earth with an anointing of joy. You know how I know Jesus was happy? Because kids were always trying to get to him. And if you know what I know, kids know how to spot the cranky ones and the happy ones. They know which adults are always slipping them candy and gum and tickling them and wrestling with them, and the ones that are, sit down, be quiet. And they avoid those ones, and they run for the ones that'll play with them, give them candy and gum. And the Bible said anytime children were around, they were trying to get to where Jesus was. And it was the disciples that kept them out. Sit down, be quiet. And Jesus said, don't stop the kids. This is the kingdom of heaven. Let those kids come to me. He was a joyful man. He wasn't always trying to get everybody to be quiet. No, he said, I want the kids. Unless you have faith like one of these had and believe like one of these kids, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. He loved it. He was full of joy, and people were trying to get to him. Sinners were trying to find him. Lepers were trying to find him. The blind and the deaf were trying to find him. It was only religious people trying to kill him. But I'm telling you, there's a joy that's coming on you tonight. It is the oil of gladness. It is the oil of joy. It's a supernatural thing. Whatever was plaguing you before tonight, it is leaving in Jesus' name. I said it's leaving in Jesus' name. What did I tell you last night? Weeping may endure for one night, but joy comes in the morning. Woo! Somebody shout, joy comes in the morning. You ready for this? I'm telling you, when I lay my hands on you, the power of God. This is what impartation is. It's a transfer of power. It's scriptural. Bible said when you lay your hands on even the sick, power comes out of you, gets into them. But it's not just for sick people. There's a joy that'll jump on you. Woo! Did you know that you can transfer blessing? Bible says that when the kids came to Jesus, he laid his hands upon them and blessed them. Many things, not just healing, can be transferred by the laying on of hands. And tonight, a new joy is coming upon you. You're going to go to bed laughing, wake up laughing, go about your day. And people say, what in the world is wrong with you? And you have to just tell them, I can't explain this. I don't know what to tell you other than I got the joy of the Lord and it is my strength. Watch this. Weakness that was trying to come upon your body, it's getting ready to lift off of your body tonight in Jesus' name. That's just a side effect of the joy of the Lord, for he is your strength. Do you know that you can receive this impartation of joy and sicknesses have to run out of your body? I have literally praised my way into healing many times. Praised my way into healing. You can do the same. You can praise him till chains fall off. You can praise him till prison doors come open. Might be something you've dealt with for many years, but it's been many years too long. And God has a solution for you tonight. It's the oil of joy. I said it's the oil of joy. It's coming on every one of us. And we're going to leave full. Somebody shout, I'm leaving full. Say it again, I'm leaving full. Just lift those hands in this house. In Jesus' name. I'm leaving full. I'm leaving full. I'm leaving full. I'm leaving full. Depression goes when my joy comes. Depression goes when my joy comes. And I'm leaving full of the power of God. Hey, I'm leaving full. of the power of God. Depression goes, anxiety goes, every thought is from the devil. It's got to go when my joy comes. It's got to go when my joy comes. I'm leaving full with the power of God. I'm leaving full with the power of God. 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 Here's what I want you to do. If you want to receive this tonight, this impartation, I want you to get out of your seat. What we're going to do is a bit different. Instead of trying to form multiple lines, we're going to form one line. If we're going to stretch it around, we'll stretch it around. If we got to stretch it into the lobby, we'll do that. But I want you to just kind of move out of your seat this way and just come and start right here. We're going to face the wall this way, and we're going to come straight on through. If you would, if you want to receive a touch, a joy, an impartation of joy, I want you to just begin to get in line. Now, I want you to hear this. Joy is not just for those who are depressed. Joy is not just for those that are anxious or have suicide. Joy is the fuel for your increase. Joy is the fuel for your purpose. See, that's why I was preaching tonight. If the devil could steal that, then he's taking the fuel out of your tank to move forward into what God's called you to do. Woo! But we got a joy that will never run out. You know what I like about this joy? It's not based on circumstances. It's not based on something that happened that made you happy. You know, I was writing recently and I heard this, you know, the phrase that said, you know, the scripture that says that you'll have a peace that passes all understanding. You know what that means, don't you? It means that you'll be peaceful in times when in the natural you shouldn't have peace. And people will say, how come you're so calm? Because they can see what you're going through. They can see what the devil's trying to do to kill you. And they're looking at you confused and saying, how are you so calm in all this? Because you can't understand it, because it's a peace that passes your understanding. So look at this. Your peace is not based on your situation. Neither is your joy based on your situation. Ooh. You know, I love this because I don't praise God because only because of what he's already done. That's one of the reasons I praise him, because the Bible commands us, Psalm 150, praise him for his mighty acts of greatness. But that's only one of the reasons I praise him. Another reason I praise him is for who he is. I praise him just for his name, because his name is so great that nobody can handle it. No demon can handle the name. But then even further than that, I praise him because of what he's about to do. Anybody can praise him after it's already done. That's more along the lines of thanksgiving. But he's wondering, can you praise me before I even move? Because see this, your praise will provoke the moving of God. What if I told you this? What if I told you this? That there were people in the Bible who got a blessing from Jesus that there was no heavenly plan to bless them before they provoked his presence with praise. Ever read Mark 10? The Bible said Jesus leaving Jericho. I preached last night about blind Bartimaeus. The Bible said he just started crying out, Jesus, Son of David. Jesus wasn't holding a meeting or having a prayer line. He was leaving to go somewhere else. And he got stopped in his tracks by the praise of one man. You notice this. He wasn't trying to find Bartimaeus to pray for him in the crowd. He was going to another city. And Bartimaeus, literally by the Spirit, reached his hand into heaven and penciled his own name in on God's calendar. And said, actually, Lord, I know Jesus is headed somewhere else, but I need a touch today. And by his praise, he provoked Jesus into action, and Jesus opened up his eyes and he could now see. What I'm telling you is our praise, it's a tool to provoke the presence of God. Shh. I'm telling you, when I lay hands on you tonight, not only is joy jumping into your spirit, but a new praise is coming into your heart. A new praise. It says the psalmist said back in the 70s, the psalmist said, how are you going to do it if you really don't want to dance? Standing on the wall. Get your back up off the back. And there's been people who have taken their praise and put it on the shelf. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying, but the Bible said when they went into captivity, they took their harps and hung them on willow trees. And if they would have just praised God, the same victory they got in the past would have been the victory of their now. But they put their praise on the shelf. Woo! Somebody shout, get your back up off the wall. Don't ever allow yourself to get to the place where you've become too dignified to praise God. Hallelujah. Don't ever get to the place where you're too cool to praise Him, too dignified to praise Him. Well, I've got too old to praise Him. No, don't ever let a circumstance define whether or not you'll give God all the praise. How many have heard of the man of God, Smith Wigglesworth? How many heard that name before? Did you know the man raised 14 people from the dead? And even up into his 80s, they say he would get out of bed in the morning, and before his feet ever hit his house shoes, he would dance in the spirit for 10 straight minutes first thing in the morning and praise God for another day to live, another day to serve Him, another day to work for Him. And as he continued to praise God, he stayed in the presence of God, and God used him to shake the world. That's what's coming on us tonight. New praise, new joy. Somebody say new praise, new joy. Would you lift your hands all over this room? I'm gonna have the band play and praise, and I'm gonna lay my hands upon you, and whatever was plaguing you, it's coming off, and joy is coming in. I said joy is coming in. Woo! You feel the victory in here? We're not about to get the victory. We already got it. I said we already got it. The devil already lost. We already won. Are we streaming from this phone? You got this phone? You're watching online? Let me encourage you. Join in with us, because you'll catch the joy right from home. You'll catch an impartation right on Facebook Live. Lift your hands all over this room. Father, as we get ready to minister to your precious people tonight, I pray you'd open up the windows of heaven over this church. Pour out a joy that we don't have room enough to contain. Overwhelming, overflowing joy in the Holy Ghost. Overwhelming, overflowing joy in the Holy Ghost. And by the time we leave this church, we're going to leave singing, I got just what I wanted from the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, somebody clap your hands and shout amen. Woo! Now with one hand lifted high, say, thank you, Lord, that right now I receive my joy. I'm leaving here on another level. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, somebody shout yes. Come on, let's praise Him. Go ahead, God.
rejoice and be glad. Joy of the Holy Ghost. Hey. Fire of God. Glad in it, yes you do. This is a day. And this is a day the Lord has made. Clap those hands and say, this is the day.
Must go. I command this vision to come back by the power of God. Open for the glory of God in Jesus' mighty name. Receive your miracle tonight in Jesus' name. Be glad in it, man. This is the day that the Lord has.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day.
I just heard the Holy Ghost say it. I speak divine protection over you, my brother. No plot or plan of the devil or any wicked person will ever have the authority to take you out. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, your steps are ordered of the Lord. I tell you tonight, as I was getting ready to pray for you, I heard the Lord say he's ordering angels around you. Angels to protect you. No wicked thing will ever destroy your life. And I lose a strength in the Holy Ghost. God opens up your eyes in the Spirit, and you'll have a discerning before things even happen. You'll have a knowing before things even happen. Your sixth sense, that is a faith, will begin to activate even on the job. God will warn you ahead of time of things to come. And people say, how'd you know that? How'd you know that was going to happen? How'd you know that? And it's the Holy Ghost. God will show you by his Spirit. And you'll be divinely protected. And you'll not be able to be taken out by an attack of the enemy. Somebody lift your hands with him. Thank the Lord. Hey, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day the Lord has. I pray for you yet. Come here, lift your hands. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Jimmy, I speak to you a new joy. A new season is beginning. Your faithfulness through the years, God has seen everything. God has seen everything. But a new season of blessing is coming onto your life and for your family. Your children will be blessed. Your children have been gifted by God, not by the world. They've been anointed by God, not by the world. And their giftings and their talents and their abilities will not be stolen by the world, but they will do it to honor God. And I declare the blood of Jesus is on every one of your children in Jesus' name. They shall be abundantly blessed. And a new level of anointing comes upon you tonight. A joy like you've never known. Fire of God come upon him tonight. In Jesus' name. Lift those hands. A new joy. New joy. My brother, can you hear me in your in-ears? Good. I'm telling you this. I don't even know what you do for a job, but I'm going to tell you this. There's avenues of blessing that are coming to you on the side, because even this love you have for music, God's going to open up the doors for even your own personal studio, and there will be people that will come to you and pay for studio time, not to just have you play, but to engineer, to produce. God's put a gifting, a calling on you, and you're going to start to see an influx of finances come in. God's going to use this gift for his glory and give you influence with people you never thought you'd talk to, and let you have influence in the lives of those you never thought you'd talk to. And it'll be an avenue to bring people into the kingdom. Somebody lift your hands and thank God with him. Come on, clap. That's it. You got it.
Woo! This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made.
Come on, say.
I will rejoice.
All right.
I will rejoice. And be glad in it.
Oh,
and be glad in it.
Oh, yes. This is the day
that the Lord has made.
Oh, I will rejoice.
And be glad in it.
This is the day. This is the day. Lift your hands towards this camera, if you would. Stretch your hands towards this camera. I pray for every person watching on live stream, whether live or on the replay. I pray in Jesus' name, whatever's plagued you before today, I loose the joy of the Lord, the overwhelming joy of God comes upon you from this day. And every attack of the enemy is diffused by the power of God. Every curse returns to sender. In Jesus' wonderful name. If you believe it with them, somebody lift up a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Woo.
Yay. Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.